We begin with confession and forgiveness.
Confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do, and have fallen short of living in your love. Lord, sin away by the cross, an empty grave for my soul. I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have placed myself above and have hurt the ones I love, and I know that only you can set me free. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross, an empty grave for my soul.
Take us back to the water, wash away our sins. Welcome us, the Father, back to your home again. Bless your sons and your daughters, and let the feast begin. Let it begin. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross, an empty grave for my soul.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You take us back to the water. You wash away our sins. You welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and your daughters. Now that the feast begins, let it begin. Lord, your mercy covers me. Lord, your mercy has set me free. You've forgiven me today, and my sins are washed away by the cross, an empty grave for my soul. Lord, your mercy covers me. an empty grave for my soul.
Guide me, ever great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Feed me now and evermore. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing waters flow. Let the fire of cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, shield me with your mighty arm. Shield me with your mighty arm. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, let me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will raise forevermore. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood, you saved the chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation, you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading is from Genesis, the 9th chapter, verses 8 through 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as can come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is in the earth. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and of all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 25 responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore, you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, the third chapter, verses 18 through 22. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. An image that was coming to mind in these lessons that were given today is this image of suffering. There's this culmination of a trial that Noah and his family had experienced and adored and endured. The image of Christ suffering through the temptation in the wilderness, following his baptism, yet he prevails through that. And in 1 Peter, the image of the suffering Christ, and that sacrifice depicted as a source of our atonement and salvation. As our Lenten journey unfolds, we're reminded of the fact that following Jesus does not remove the reality of suffering from our lives, but we are given a promise. We're given a promise in the midst of our suffering. We hear about the new covenant God makes with Noah and every living creature. And it's not a mistake that on this Sunday we go back to Jesus' baptism in order to give us some confidence in knowing that when we're joined to that baptism in Christ that we have, that there's some confidence that we can endure when we find ourselves walking through the wilderness. Baptism, suffering, and the ultimate promise of God is what we can be sure of this day. We can see that the suffering that people have experienced in our community, in our country, in our world today, has been amplified throughout this pandemic. We can also see the callous and wicked behavior of people in our community, in our country, and the world. I was just reading how a man in Arizona was screaming at people lined up at a church in order to get food at their pantry. Screaming at them, telling the parents to get a job, telling their children that their parents were pathetic because they couldn't afford to feed them. We know how Texas has been experiencing some difficulties with weather and power outages this week. And there was a mayor in Texas that ended up resigning after telling his residents that not only the strong survive, but they need to learn to sink or swim. And if they didn't figure it out on their own, they were lazy in his book. He also said some other things that I won't share. Those are just two of the latest examples that I can offer you that there is a true loss of compassion and empathy for those who are suffering. We have such a negative picture of the poor in this country that what really prevents us in various ways from actually adequately serving the poor is our fear that the undeserving might get some. It's not a Christian concept. Now, we can all come to different conclusions on where the responsibility begins and ends for local, state, and federal governments in caring for those in need, but it is always the responsibility of the church to ensure that those in need are cared for. It's not a mistake that a lot of the hospitals in our own community, but throughout our nation, throughout probably the western part of civilization in particular, have Christian roots. It's not a mistake that a lot of orphanages were Christian ministries and feeding programs and ministries that today continue to be grounded in their Christian witness because of the biblical call to care for those in need, to walk with those who are suffering. We walk and minister to all who are suffering. We don't make a distinction on whether or not one deserves it or not. What did we hear in 1 Peter today? For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous and for the unrighteous. Think of the Lord's Prayer and that petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." Martin Luther's explanation of that petition in the Lord's Prayer is that we're provided daily bread without our prayer. And he even goes to say that even all evil people get daily bread. Our prayer is to be mindful of the cause and source of where our daily bread comes from so that we can have in our hearts a sense of thankfulness and gratitude. But to be clear, the good and the bad, the deserving and the undeserving are those that God provides for the righteous and for the unrighteous, God provides for. For the righteous and for the unrighteous, Christ suffered for. I believe that what has been further exposed in our current time, in this current time of crisis, is the wicked ways of our wicked nature. The lack of concern some people have displayed for the most vulnerable throughout this pandemic is wicked. The two recent incidents that I just named, you could probably rattle off some incidents of your own that you've experienced or heard of, right? People needing to go to a food pantry. People trying to figure out warmth, how they're going to keep warm, how they're going to get food, how they're going to get clean water in the midst of a winter storm with no power and not having any compassion but even disdain for them. That is wicked. And these aren't isolated examples. These speak to the true human sinful condition. And for whatever reason, people are becoming far more comfortable in bearing public witness to this wickedness. And our response as the people of God, our response as baptized children of God, is to confront that wickedness with the love of God by ministering and walking with those who are suffering. That is our response. That is our mission. When we are turned inward and focus only about ourselves, we don't care about our neighbors, nor do we seek to be good stewards of God's creation. And our Lenten journey is a particular invitation to follow Jesus. That's an invitation to be in solidarity with the suffering of others. We do not judge why people are suffering. We don't make the judgment call on whether they're deserving or undeserving of daily bread. We are called to walk with them and to minister to them. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 comes to mind, because there's a verse there about having honest labor. But I want to read that verse to you. It says, "Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly for their own hands, so as they have something to share with the needy." This isn't a verse we can throw out and say, "Hey, see, it says right there in Ephesians, get a job." It actually says more about not stealing than it does about that. And it says, not only is it's also not about judging, but it's about sharing, right? So if each and every one of us have gainful employment, that we're using our gifts and abilities, guess what we're on the hook for? You have something to share with the needy. Our Lenten discipline and all the various disciplines that we're called to, they're not just about us. They're to invite us to a deeper walk with Jesus that will cause us a deeper love and concern for our neighbor. In our fasting, in our almsgiving, in our study and prayer, we become more aware of what we have. We become more aware of what our neighbor does not have. We also want to love and serve those who Jesus suffered and died for. And who did he die for? The righteous and the unrighteous. He died for everybody. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous and the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. If we're going to start keeping tabs on who deserves and who doesn't deserve, I would fear for myself on Judgment Day. Because we deserve a death sentence due to our sin and wickedness. But the good news is that God's verdict in Jesus Christ is a sentence of eternal life. Christ suffered and died for our sins so that we would be brought back to God. And we experience that reality of new and eternal life right here and right now, and when our baptism is complete in physical death. Noah and his family were saved through those waters of the flood, But we hear in 1 Peter is that baptism saves us, and it is this gift that's not exclusive. It's not limited just to eight people. It's not just limited to one family, but it's offered for all people. It is a way in which the church radically invites all people to enter into this covenant and promise that we have in Jesus Christ, this covenant of new life, this covenant of peace and eternal love. It welcomes all people from all nations, from all walks of life. We should look then at our own suffering in a different way, in knowing that we've been invited to join Christ through this baptismal covenant, and knowing that we're joined to him, knowing that he's with us, that our own suffering, we could hear that good news of Jesus Christ, that we're not alone, that God is with us. Now, that, I know that doesn't take away the pain immediately or even completely, but it does give us the ability to endure and to see much more to what's going on in us, through us, and around us when we know that God is close by. When we walk with people who are suffering, when we put down our prejudices and preconceived notions as to why they're in their predicaments, we do learn a whole lot. We learn an awful lot. And it's not what we thought, more often than not. And that wall of prejudice is taken down, and then we're given the ability to have compassion for those who are suffering. Then we get to know them by name. And then we get to invite them to be part of this covenant, to be part of this family of God. This invitation to walk with people in their suffering, that's part of both a Lenten journey and our baptismal journey. To follow the Lord Jesus, who is a suffering servant for all, and then go and walk with minister with those who sit in darkness. The suffering sacrifice made by Christ is for all people, the righteous and the unrighteous. We are called to share this good news in denouncing the wicked instincts and ways of this world, and to point to the way of the new and everlasting covenant, that covenant of love and peace that we know and have in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Satanic foe has sworn to work us woe with craft and dreadful might. He arms himself to fight. On earth he has no equal. No strength of ours can match his might. Rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be. The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. The hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to destroy. stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle will engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. In Jesus, your realm has come near to us in every place and time. Give your church throughout the world a spirit of humility and repentance. Teach us to trust always in the good news of your salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have made a covenant of mercy with every living creature. Bless all the earth's creatures and empower the work of biologists, conservationists, and science educators. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, for deacons and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
All your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness. Direct the words and actions of leaders in our community and throughout the world, that they may maintain justice for the lowly. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Even in the wilderness, you are with us. Walk alongside migrants and refugees crossing dangerous lands. Tend to those whose lives feel desolate. Give healing and strength to all who suffer, especially Ron, Cora, Robin, John, Loretta and her family, Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Ellie, Stan, Marlene and her family, Ken and our family, Blaine, Michelle, Rhonda, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Frank,
and our homebound and those with COVID. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those without access to heat and electricity, especially those experiencing this hardship in Texas, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the covenant of baptism, you claim us as beloved children. Nurture us in our baptismal identity and teach us to live within it for the sake of others. Strengthen this congregation's ministries of care and concern. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those in our armed services and their chaplains, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In baptism, you join us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you for all those who have died, trusting in your faithfulness. Bring us with them to the fullness of your reign. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution of Holy Communion now will take place at the west side of the parking lot. I will meet you out there. And then after each vehicle has received the sacrament, I will dismiss them and give you all a final blessing as you've received the sacrament.
Your son.